Turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3 tonight. The book of Exodus, chapter number 3. We're going through the series of Here Am I moments with God. And I believe God has given every believer a Here Am I moment. It's whether we recognize that in our lives. Amen? And I believe that we need to be searching for those things because we have been given to us a great privilege to be servants of God and to be used of Him greatly. Last week, we talked about our Here Am I moments with Abraham. Does anybody remember what that moment was? It was your journey with God. Some folks are afraid to go on a journey with God. They don't know what the outcome is going to be. They are fearful for what might lie ahead of them. And so with that being said, they miss out on those opportunities. They shy away from those things. And let me be an encouragement to you tonight if I can. If God has spoken to you and He's laid upon your heart to do some work for Him, He's calling you to go on a journey with Him. And you need to heed to that calling. Because you're going to look back in your life, if you neglect that, you're going to look back in your life and you're going to regret those things. And there are some things in my life personally that I regret because I know God dealt with me specifically. He said, hey, here's a journey for you. The door's open. Go down this road with me. And I've said no to many of those things. And I regret a lot of those things. And I don't want, especially young people in here this morning, to have more of a life ahead of them than I do right now. I don't want you to regret things in your life. Go take that journey with the Lord. I guarantee you this, you will not be disappointed. And I'll guarantee you this, you'll have a fun ride. Amen? You'll have a fun ride. Tonight we're going to be dealing with the second Here Am I moment, and that is, Here Am I, make me a leader. And I got to say this as we first start off, not everybody's a leader. Not everybody's a natural born leader. But you can become a leader. God can use you in your life. I am dealing specifically with Moses tonight. Moses used his speech as part of his problem. God, you know, I don't speak well. I'm paraphrasing. And when he was saying that to God, he was making excuses of, here am I moment, I don't want to be a leader. But God wants to use you. Why does God want to use you? Because you're His child, and He has the right to use you. Let's read verses 1 through 12 in the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. And we'll go through our four pages of notes tonight rather quickly. It says, now Moses kept a flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. I got to stop here real quick. This has nothing to do with the message. But as I begin to read God's word, even more so since I've been back from Israel, I just have all these visions in my head that were never there before. And seeing the desert and the things that were talked about in the Bible, it's just, it's more real to me. And I can't help but my mind to go back to the time when I'm there. And so I'm never going to apologize for talking about it because God worked in my life and blessed there tremendously. And so thankful for that opportunity. Verse number 2, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the brush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, I want you folks to respond with me. What did Moses say? And he said, here am I. Folks, that's where you and I need to be in our lives. When God speaks, we say, Lord, we say, God, we say, Holy Spirit, and our response should be, here am I. Verse number 5, it goes on. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this will be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Go back, if you would, in your minds last week, as we went through the book of Genesis, I believe it was chapter number 15, verse number 2. What did God say to Abraham as Abraham is on his journey in his life? What did God say to him? He says, Abraham, I will be your what? Shield. I will be your shield. Shield is a form of protection. It's going to be out in front of that person. In verse number 12, God says to Moses, he says, I will be with thee. You see these assurances that God is given to these men as they're on their walk with him? See, a lot of us, let's be honest with ourselves, we get scared when God speaks to us and wants to use us for his glory. I can remember years ago, I believe I was at the age of 13, and I remember very specifically God dealing with me in my heart and my life into the ministry. And I surrendered, but I didn't surrender fully to him. I still lived my life. I still did what I wanted to do. And one of the reasons why I didn't fully surrender is, to be honest with you, is one, I didn't put my trust in the Lord. Two, I was afraid where God was going to take me. And I'm just being quite honest with you. And those were my fears of my life. If only I could have recalled back to Scripture that God's going to be my shield. God is going to be with me because he wants to use me. So we're going to go through some points here tonight, and we'll trust that God will speak to our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll give you the four points that we're going to look at tonight. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the time that we have had to fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you again for the blood that you so graciously and willingly shed for us. Lord, help us to recall that every single day of our life, and how you bring people in our lives to share that same good news that was shared with us years ago. Help us not to shy away. Help us to be diligent in the task that you have desired to have us do for you. We ask in your name, amen. The four points that we're going to deal with tonight is, one, God chooses leaders. The second point is, God wants faithful men. Not just men, but I need to put that out here as well. God wants faithful women. And God wants to use women as well. There's many women that are in the ministry today. They're serving as missionaries over in the field. And so God wants to use not only men, but God wants to use women as well. The third point is, here am I, Lord. And we just dealt with that in verse number 4. And the last point, everything's going to lead up to this. So I hope you pay attention to what's going on. And I will leave that last point for a surprise on that. I'm just kidding, folks. The last point is, the home needs a leader. And Pastor dealt with that so well this morning, and how the home needs a leader. And that leader is the man. And so we're going to come down and go over all these today. So we see that God chooses a leader. And I'm thankful that God chooses leaders, because you and I, we need leaders in our lives. The world today needs leaders. Not just a particular leader, but leaders who are godly men and godly women. And that's something that our world is not having so much today. We need men and women who are in the workforce and in the world who are willing to stand up for Christ, stand up for what is right. You know what I saw in Israel that I don't see here in the States? It baffled me, and I have yet to tell anybody this. Every hotel room that I walked into, and almost every place of occupancy that I was in, there were folks reading God's word. You know what that said to me? That was saying to me, hey, I am a leader. I'm going to take a stand, and I'm going to read God's word, and I'm going to show people that God has changed my life. So the world needs leaders today. If you saw that in the States, you're going to be crucified for that. You're going to be ridiculed, and you're going to be made fun of. But we need men and women who are willing to stand up. What qualifies a man to be a leader doing the work of God? There are qualifications that are that come with this. And those qualifications, the man that whoever it should be a man that desires to follow God, and not just follow God, but to follow His Word. Again, this is going to lead up to my last point. What is a qualification of a leader? One who is willing to follow God. And we need to be willing to follow God. Wherever God leads us, wherever God puts us on our journey, wherever God wants us to be an influence in someone's life, we should be following God and seeking His guidance. Well, what is the other qualification that a leader needs to have? What did Moses do? Moses did what? He met with God, did he not? So the other qualification of a leader is one who is willing to meet with God. One who is willing to give up his time with his wife or with his kids and begin to pursue that one-on-one relationship with the Lord. And that needs to be done in our lives when it comes to men having families and having spouses. We need to have a time that we're going to set apart and meet with God. And we need to let our families know this is an important time in our life. I read my word in my living room. I don't go down into the basement. I don't go into a private room. I read out in the open. Why? Because I want to be that example to my wife and to my daughter. So when they walk in, they say, hey, my dad, my husband is... Husbands, I said that, didn't I? My husband is taking time out to spend with God. And that's the example that you and I need to be. And I have not always been that great example. I failed miserably many hundreds of times in my life with that. But we need to set some time with God to meet with Him, to say, God, You're important in my life. I want Your attention, and I want to fall in love with You more. I want my relationship to grow with You even more in my life. And so we need to be willing to meet with God. A leader is one who has demonstrated great faithfulness to God. And not just to God, but to His house of worship. We need to be faithful when these doors are open. I really never saw the importance of being in church all the time until I began to go on my journey with the Lord. And I knew the importance of, man, if I'm going to grow, not only is it going to come time for me and my word, but it's going to come time with me being in the house of God. And the house of God is an important time for us to demonstrate our faithfulness. So often when choosing a man to fulfill an office, spiritual discernment has been thrown out the window. It's gone by the wayside, and we put anybody and everybody into a place of position. And we need to choose men who are faithful to God and faithful to His house, being an example, having a time, meeting with God. One person that comes to my mind particularly that the people did not use good spiritual discernment, and it hurt the nation, and that man was Saul. God gave him what they wanted. Saul was a man that was tall. He was above every man's shoulders. He was good to look upon. He had everything going for him, but there's one thing that he lacked, and that one thing that he lacked was faithfulness to God, a relationship with God. And I come to the conclusion that God wants faithful men. Not only does He want faithful men to be leaders, but He wants faithful women to be leaders. You know, I don't want to leave the women out in this, and I particularly dealt with men in my mind, but women, do you realize the responsibility that you have in this church to our younger women? You have a tremendous responsibility to teach them to be teachers, to be ladies, to be a cook in the house, to show them what to look for in a man. That is a tremendous responsibility that you have. And your job is just as important as the man's job. And we have so many women that have neglected that responsibility, and young ladies aren't turning out the way that they should because we left it upon somebody else. And we need to be that encouragement to them. So you have an important part too. God wants faithful men. God wants faithful women. But serving God is a full-time commitment. So often we think it's only serving God when it's convenient for us. Boy, that hit home with me as I begin to write my notes. I begin to think of those things. Man, I serve God when it's only convenient for me at times. But serving God is a full-time ministry. We don't get to pick and choose the dates. It's what God chooses for you in your life that particular day. Imagine if you were to shun out God's voice in your life where he wants to use you tremendously in somebody's life. It's a full-time commitment. And so we need to take away, well, it doesn't really fit into my schedule today, and I don't really see it benefiting me Thursday or Friday, but God, you can mark me down 2 months from tonight. See, that's showing God that his time's not important and our time is more important. And so it's a full-time commitment, and God wants faithful men who are going to commit to him full-time. And wherever that may be, whether it be at your job, whether it be at your home, whether it be at church, God wants a full-time commitment. God doesn't want part-time Christians. He wants full-time Christians. We got a lot of part-timers out there. We got a lot of people who don't want to do a full-time works job. And we need to have somebody who is fully committed. A leader is one who is willing to be faithful to do what he has been called or asked to do. Throughout history, man has chosen the wrong person to represent themselves and others. Go back 4 years ago in this country. There is a man who represented this country that harmed our country. Man did not use discernment when putting somebody in office. And I got a question for you. How can we award somebody a position when in fact they aren't deserving of it? Have we lost our morals when it comes to choosing leaders? Think about this. Look in our Congress. Look in our Senate. Look at the people that we have put in charge over us and ask yourself a question. Have we lost our morals when it comes to choosing a leader? Think about this. When Moses was on the mount talking with God, who was down below allowing the people to worship a golden calf? It was Aaron. Was he deserving of a position? After looking at Scripture, and I see as Moses met with God, and as I see that he allowed these people to worship a golden calf, I believe that Aaron lost that qualification, to be honest with you. And he wasn't qualified as a good leader simply because he gave in to the people. Sometimes being a leader, you're going to have to be tough. You're going to have to be hard. And you can't give in. And even to people that you love and you adore and you want to make happy. I'm just going to use this for an example because this came up this morning. Julie, you played the special today. And I thank you for that. And Chris wanted her to play for the offertory. And I didn't want her to play for the offertory. I wanted her to play for the special music. And sometimes you got to take a stand. And it's not diminishing Chris in any way. It's not trying to go against her and not have her wishes be desired at that point in time. It's just sometimes you got to take a stand. And Aaron, at this particular time, when Moses was dealing with God, when Moses was talking with God, Aaron didn't take a stand. And so often, leaders today, they don't have no backbone. They don't have no leadership qualities. They give in to the people. They have no desire to really lead, but they want to be out in the front. They want to be popular. Verse number 4, we see as God is talking to Moses, it says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." How can we know that we have chosen a good leader? I will give you this from verse number 4. We will know when we have chosen a good leader when he stands up or when she stands up and says, here am I, Lord, use me. That's when you know you have a good leader for that position. When they say, God, I'm here. I want to be used. I want you to be glorified through me. I want to work for you, and I want you to use me for whatever you desire to use me for. Here am I, Lord. If you want me to go on a journey with you and go to a land I'm not familiar with, Lord, here am I. Lord, if you want me to be a leader and to deliver these people out of bondage, Lord, here am I. If you want me to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years with these people who complain and who murmur all the time, Lord, here am I. I want to be used of you. I want to be a leader for you. You and I need to have a moment in our life where we stand up and say, God, here am I, use me, because I want to serve you. Folks, time is running out for us to be used of God. Why not take advantage of the time that we have now? We have come to a society, a place in our society where we say, life is about me, less about God. And we say, God, I'm not here for you. I have other things in my mind. I have other intentions, and I have other desires that I want to fill. You and I need to come to a point, just like Moses, just like Abraham, and say, here am I, Lord, use me. Use me. Everyone who is a child of God has their moments where God wants to use them. And you and I, when those moments come to us, we need to rise to the occasion and say, yes, God, I want to be used of you, instead of crumbling and backing away from those occasions that God has called us to do. Here's what we need to do. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Mold me. God, I know I'm not perfect. Use me, God. Continue to mold me into your image. Continue to make me into what you desire for me to be in my life. God, if you want to use me as a leader, use me, Lord. Do what you need to do. And that's where you and I need to be in our lives. To a place where we surrender and we say, God, here am I. The fourth point that we're going to deal with tonight is the home needs a leader. Just as the Israelites needed a leader at this point in time to be delivered out of the hands of Pharaoh, and they had Moses to deliver them. Moses, on many different occasions, due to the circumstances, went back to God, talked with God on many different circumstances. And he was chosen to be their leader. I have come to recognize in our world today there is something that is lacking in our society. And that is the home. The home needs a leader. And it needs it so desperately. I'm in a lot of homes every single week. And to be quite honest with you, probably about 60% of our homes are manless homes. You don't see what I see on a daily basis. You don't deal with what I deal with on a daily basis. There are homes that have no man in their life. And when there's no man in their life, they're lacking leadership. A home needs a leader. One of the most important places to lead, and please don't take this the wrong way, please don't take this out of context or be insulted by this. It's not the church. It's the home. It's the home. If I didn't have a leader in my life at home that had an influence on me at an early age, I wouldn't be standing here before you today. I'm not standing here today because he's my pastor and because he is my principal. I'm standing here today because he was a leader as a father. As a man that taught me how to be a father and to be a man and to live my life, how to be a husband. That's why I'm here today. And homes are lacking that in our world. We need men who recognize the importance of not being their kids' as friends. Friendships come later in life. But there's an age where most parents believe, man, I just want to be my kid's friend. You're missing out on a great opportunity of being their parent. A big opportunity. So one of the most important places for us to lead, men, is at home. How is your leadership at home? Men, God has called us to be the leaders of the home. He did not call the women to lead the home. Why? Because this was the man's job. It was the man's job to get up every morning to do the task that he needed to do, to open up his word, to get on his knees and begin to pray to God and begin to show his family the importance of having a relationship with the Lord. The man has dropped that responsibility. Recent years, the leadership of the home has been abandoned by the man and has been picked up by the woman. And no offense to the ladies, but God didn't call you to that position. He called a man to that position. And the man has abandoned that. We deal with a lot of namby-pansy men today. I'm tired of talking to a lot of guys that think they have to wear skinny jeans and talk with a lisp. I'm serious. I want to talk to a man who's willing to be a man, who's willing to deal with man facts and to lead his family in the right direction, to be a leader for that family. I desire to be around men like that. One who has taken on a responsibility and says, this is my house, and today we choose to serve the Lord because I'm leading my family closer to God, not away from God. You might be saying, Chad, you're really kind of hitting home. Folks, I struggled with this past week. Chris and I were reflecting this week and doing a lot of discussion, and you do that as you get older in marriage. And it's hard to believe that mom and dad will be married 52 years and Chris and I will be married 25 years. And it's amazing how fast time goes. But I always haven't been the leader in my house, and she brought something up this week. She goes, Chad, do you remember when we first got married? And I'm not getting teary-eyed because we got married. So please don't take that the wrong way. Because I'm excited. She goes, you remember when we first got married? I said, yeah. She goes, do you remember what we did? I said, well, we did a lot of things. She goes, do you remember what we didn't do? I said, well, we didn't do a lot of things. She goes, you remember when we didn't go to Sunday school? Man, that hit home with me. I'm the man of the family. And I realized that I neglected my responsibilities of leading her closer to the Lord. And I walked away and I abandoned some areas of my life. Why did this happen? I'll tell you why these things happen. Because man has become so absorbed in themselves. And the love for the wife and the children has been lost. You know what Pastor was saying this morning about the gym? I didn't raise my hand. I didn't raise my hand because I thought he was going to go somewhere that he knew something about me. That I was like, oh, Lord, please wipe that from Dad's memory. But I'm going to bring it back up for him because I know that he's probably wanting to say this morning. Downstairs in the furnace room, I used to have a weight room down there. And talk about being absorbed and full of yourself. He talked about mirrors. Mom's laughing. But I put up mirrors down there so I can see how good I looked. It's the truth. Guys are absorbed in themselves. They care about how they look. And that becomes their main focus. And they forget about how their wife should be looking spiritually and how their children should be looking spiritually. See, that was real in my life. And when he said that this morning, that really hit home with me because I knew exactly what he meant. We become so absorbed in ourselves and we forget our responsibilities, what it's like, and what it should be for us to be leaders in our home. And we should have a desire to lead our spouses and our children to have a better relationship with the Lord. We need leaders. We need men who are in homes that are saying, you know what? I know the world's knocking at my door, and I know the world wants to destroy us, and we need men who's going to say, there's going to be leaders and say, you know what? Enough is enough. Get behind me. I'm serving God today. We need that in our lives. Leadership is often taken over by the spouse due to the selfishness, and I'm going to throw this word out there because this is dealing with me, and the immaturity of the man. Man, I might not be making a lot of friends tonight, but we really act immature. We do. And we're selfish. And we think about ourselves so often. You know what a great leader is? A great quality of a leader is? When he forgets about himself and put others ahead of him. That's what it's all about. Guys, you might not have a leadership role in the church, but you have one far greater than that, and that is leading your family closer and closer to God. The greatest responsibility of my father wasn't being my pastor, it was being my father, teaching me to be a man, to be a leader for God. And that also came with him being a pastor as well, but it came as a father. And so we have a great role. Are we wanting our family to have a relationship with the world? Or are we wanting our family to have a relationship with God? My desire today is to lead my family closer to the Lord. But men, we cannot achieve this when you and I leave our post. If you neglect this responsibility, I'm going to have a lot of daggers coming at me, but I'll take them. If you and I neglect this responsibility, you and I are not much of a man to begin with. I'm not talking just to you, I'm talking to myself. This hit home with me this week. I struggled with this because I know I've lacked those things in my life. I have not been that great listener that I should be. There's a person that I know that I grew up watching their shows, and I won't give you the name of the show, but she became an author, and I saw her interview this week, and she became a children's book author, and she wrote a book specifically for parents, and it's got pictures in there, because not just reading it does something for us, but when we see a picture, it really livens it up. And one of the things that I've noticed in my life is my listening hasn't been the greatest that it should be. And it shows a man and his children at the park. And they're playing, and the man's at a park, and he's on his phone. And the kids are trying so vehemently to try to get his attention. And in the captions, as the kids are trying to get his attention, the boy says, "Dad, you're missing it." There's a lot of truth to that. We're missing our responsibility to being a leader. And if we neglect that, we're not much of a man to begin with. Being a pastor, being an associate pastor, being a deacon, being a steward, being a trustee, doesn't matter if you neglect to be a leader of the home that God has called you to lead. Very important. The fifth and final point, I'll go over it very quickly. Here am I. Here am I. God used Moses to lead his people from bondage. God wants to use you men to lead your family away from Satan to a place of spiritual protection that's with the Lord. To lead them to a place that flows with milk and honey. Moses said, "Here am I." And God used him greatly to be a leader for his people. Men, I'm going to challenge you. Tell God tonight, "God, here am I. Use me to be a leader for my family." Here's your "here am I" moment. Ask God to make you a leader that you need to be for your wife and for your children. And you lead them by showing them through God's word that God comes first in your life. Nothing else. I never understood that. I've always heard our pastor say, "I love God more than my wife." I understand that now. And that's not belittling her. but it's given such great glory to our Father, because He is first in our life and should be. And so we need to show our families as leaders that God comes first. We spend so much time trying to build up our accolades here on earth. And I have a reminder for you. God's coming back. Everything that we're trying to accomplish here physically and financially doesn't matter in eternity. Show your family, lead them, that God comes first in your life.